Stuff is Ready podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Hayden. Brown.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. My name is Ben Vallis. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. The Celtics Summer League is underway, giving us some form of Celtic basketball to consume now that Team USA Tatum is off the cards. Joining us to talk all about it from the newly locked down Newcastle, Australia, Jackson, aka Rickman Lives. How are you settling into lockdown life up there, Jackson? I can't imagine it's particularly good.
Nah, it sucks. It's not too bad, really. I mean, I live so close to a supermarket and I can work from home, so I'm completely unbothered, but it's just so annoying. Like, I'm sure people don't want to hear me, like, moan about COVID and stuff, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
It sucks. Yeah, I mean, we've been in lockdown here for 7 weeks now, so, I don't wish that upon anybody, so I'm sorry to hear that it's crept its way up there. For anyone in the States listening, Newcastle, where Jackson lives, it's about 2 hours north of Sydney, where I live, and Sydney's been in lockdown for ages, and unfortunately, this Delta variant has found its way up the coastline to Newcastle and
caught Jackson there. We've never had a case. We've never had one case the whole time until
Sunday
or whatever it was. Yeah,
Gladys, anyway. Get your shit together. All right. Well, look, in the meantime, let's get into some very important Summer League talk, some crucial Summer League talk, really. The Celtics, they take down the Atlanta Hawks 85-83, thanks to some late game heroics by a few guys, really. Let's just run down the list of players here, Jackson, starting with who do you think was the MVP of this game?
It's got to be Yam, right?
Yam.
Only because he was so noticeable, like, for a period of time. It's about the only thing that of memory that I'm taking away from this game. Just quick one for the Australians out there. How do we pronounce his name? Is it Yam Madar?
I think it's Yam Madar. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm just going Yam, like how there's like some people will say France and some people will say France. I think it's like almost open to interpretation.
I don't think there's a name in any language that like you have to make more Australian noises saying than Yam Madar.
Yam.
Yeah. It sounds like you're cheering him also at the same time as saying his name, like Yam Madar. I love
it's
it.
Compatible.
It, now that Taco's on the team, we need someone with a silly name. So he appears to also be a competent point guard as well. So I'll take him for sure. And yeah, I thought he was probably player of the match considering his introduction.
Yeah, like probably the most exciting aspect of the game, like whether or not I think, you know, some people would maybe say that Pritchard or even Romeo was the MVP, but you know, the fact that the Celtics trailed 10-0, like it was a brutal first couple of minutes there, and then Yam checks in. Yam and the dirt is gone. Oh, that's an Australian ad campaign. I don't think people overseas will appreciate that.
I really hope that catches on.
Someone checks in. Yeah. He checks in and the Celtics go on a 17-2 run. And a lot of that had to do with his defensive intensity. A lot of that had to do with being a competent passer and a competent initiator of the offense. You know, he's played professionally for a while. So, like, I guess similarly to Peyton Pritchard in that, like, yeah, Peyton Pritchard's only coming off his first year, but he did come out as a college senior. And they do kind of have this sort of air of professionalism about them, whereas, you know, you look at the Summer League and it's all about raw prospects. And so to see Yam coming with some experience was very exciting. And we've been waiting for so long. And I don't know, was there a highlight or a particular moment there from Yam's stint here that sort of stood out to you, Jackson?
Like his very first play, I think he inbounds the ball, Langford steals it, and then he gets a layup. I thought that was indicative. That was just set the tone for what he was about to do. Had a couple of good passes as well too that were super nice. But I mean, dude, it's Summer League. I would love to tell you that it was like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But it was refreshing. And like you're right about him being, you know, experienced and, you know, maybe somewhat of a veteran despite being like still relatively young. So, you know, that kind of experience will help a lot. And yeah, I'm excited to have him on the team. But to answer your question, I'll say his first layup.
Yeah, no, that's fair. He had a lot of good sort of defensive moments as well. He definitely seemed to struggle with the full court press that the Celtics were employing for a lot of the game. And like credit to Sharif Cooper, who was just like solid and strong and kind of looked more like the sort of person who should be coming into the NBA, at least physically. He blew by Yam like quite a few times. But in a half court setting, the defensive, the on ball, you know, defensive acumen from Yam there was pretty solid. Got a few steals and let's just put it clearly. It just looked like he knew what the fuck he was doing, which we can't say for, you know, all of these young Celtics. I mean, Peyton Pritchard, I think, is who I would put down as the MVP of this game for the Celtics. 23 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, and shot 46% from 3, 7 of 15. And some of them were like logo threes. Like he looked a cut above everybody else. I think he was kind of the standout player in this game. What was your take from Peyton Pritchard's performance, Jackson?
Yeah, to be fair, I think you make a much more compelling argument that Peyton Pritchard was the MVP of this game. Like 7 from 15, like summer league or not, that's hot. And yeah, just the audacity that he has to like shoot from the places that he did shoot and that they were going in. Had a nasty move where he dropped that Sharif Cooper guy, who was having a fantastic game otherwise. Mm. But embarrassed him and hit the three, which was super nice. Look, as far as like the implications go, as far as the season coming up, like shit, if he can, I know he only averaged like less than 8 points this season, but like what if he can like get up to around about 13, 14? That's starting to fill like the Fournier gap, and that would just be so convenient and nice just to have some shooting. So if this is like indicative of the kind of like nights that he's going to have, he's still going to go being consistent, I'm sure of it. But when he does get hot, if he's going like this kind of hot, like, yeah, I'm definitely on board for that. So yeah, it's a very promising start to the summer league too. I think he looks a step above, I think.
Yeah, he's got quite a nice tan there as well. He's obviously been, you know, making the most of his off-season and shoulders in particular. I don't know if like you had the HD stream that I had, Jackson, but he had some like spots on his shoulders there. If I were him, I'd be getting those checked out, man. Like, go see a dermatologist or something, because like, I don't know. It wasn't bringing those freckles into last season, and suddenly it was like, dude, like bit of sun cream on the shoulders, surely. Like,
yeah, no, maybe you're young. Maybe that's the secret to being a good shooter. You got to get the sun like beam directly into your shoulders, and that.
Oh, dude, if that's the case, I'm out there tomorrow with the foil
gives you like airbending, firebending shit. So I'll be fine with that. But yeah, no, he obviously had a nice holiday and it
clearly,
shows.
Yeah, and like it's obviously very warm and sunny in Vegas as well, so it's sort of continuing on there. Reddit user, I'm going to screw this name up badly, Bikey Bean Deleted 17X wrote, Peyton Pritchard is a fucking flamethrower, 8 feet behind the line, just a silver of daylight. I'm going to say that's a sliver of daylight to get the shot up over the defender. Doesn't matter. Dude is locked in from deep. And Summer League head coach Joe Mazzulla said after the game that Peyton Pritchard did a great job of controlling the game this afternoon. What we're looking for from him is just to continue to be himself and to make people around him better. Like you talked about what that sort of means for his role in the upcoming season. And, you know, with the roster as currently constructed, Jackson, like he's going to get minutes. He's essentially the backup point guard. And so him being able to jack up threes on such high efficiency, I think, is really going to help him. Obviously, he's not like a physical presence. And so making defenders respect him in that sense and opening up sort of passing and dribbling lanes for him, I think, is going to be really important. So do you think they're going to play him through the rest of Summer League? Because he does look a cut above everybody else. Like on top of everything else, he had zero turnovers today. He almost doesn't belong out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the reps can't hurt. Like even you do risk, you know, him, you know, rolling his ankle and like setting his like progress for the season back significantly for the sake of, you know, summer league where he's got nothing to prove. So I understand that argument, but no, I reckon give him reps, give him a chance to sort of, you know, orchestrate this team. You know, that's what he's going to be required to do when Smart sits down, because you're right, he is second in line as far as I can tell now. So look, the more game time reps he can get in, I think probably the better, but eventually I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a seat, because he's going to be an important player this season.
Yeah, and just like selfishly from a fan standpoint, like you know, we've got no more Tatum to watch, at least give us Pritchard, right? Like give us some guys that we like sort of are invested in to watch until we get to training camp and we get to the beginning of the season. So we're sort of ranking performances here. We talked about Yam, we talked about Pritchard. Who comes in third place there for you, Jackson?
Well, it's got to be Romeo, because you said like, it's good to watch like someone who we can, you know, see a player of significance who's going to be on the team. Like, I think Romeo, it's sort of a make or break season for him. I think if he takes a step up, then, you know, everyone's very high on his potential. Anyway, I digress. I thought just probably the clutch three right at the end was obviously probably the most memorable part of the game, other than Mater. But Mater. But no, a couple of good steals as well too. I think he's a 3 from 7 from three, which is which is great. You know, if he can do that for the most part,
43%.
Yeah, precisely. If he can do that, like if all it's really going to take, like I don't know, this is a big if, but like if it's one of Naismith, Langford, Pritchard, maybe someone else can just, you know, be a competent 3-point shooter and can contribute off the bench, then that's going to be huge. So, you know, Romeo showing a bit of it there as well, some defensive nice touches, run out of words to say there. But I'd probably have Romeo in third place. He was wearing number 9, which I thought was curious. Like, he didn't want to wear his actual number. Do you think he's like gunning for the number 9 jersey?
I guess so. It's available, right? Like, Who has 9 currently? I know
it was Wanamaker. Actually, no. Was it going to be Moses Brown and then we traded?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
So yeah, probably is vacant. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's an ocean of numbers available for, you know, for Celtics players. So if you get a nice like single digit there, you got to jump on that shit if it's available. So
you got to be happy with it. Yeah, you got to be happy with like the middle age numbers, like the nameless ones, 47. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Reddit user Kane the Weebo made a post after the Summer League game today, just titled Langford. And they go on to say, has anyone else noticed that Langford has changed his jump shot over the summer? His release looks significantly faster and higher. Our shooting coaches have worked some magic. I didn't think his shot release looked particularly good at all. I think it was actually even a little inconsistent. There were a couple of times where like his wrist was kind of like flapping in the air after the shot. Obviously it looked great on that game winning three that you mentioned, Jackson, but I don't know, did you notice like a change in his form at all?
Nothing significant. I mean, I wasn't like paying that close attention. Maybe someone could definitely, you know, debunk that, prove that he has. But like I've never been confident in his shot. If he's taking a corner three, fair enough. But like whenever he drives to the rim or takes like a mid-range, if he ever takes a mid-range, then yeah, it's just, I just have no confidence in it going in. Like what I'm high on is you know, his defense and, you know, his like potential for growth. So if he is changing his shot, he is working on his shot, and that starts to, you know, if that's correlating with, you know, shooting 43%. From three, then yeah, power to him. But no, I didn't see anything too significant there.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, like what you say there, and it kind of like it should set a definitive ceiling for Romeo Langford in that like 3 and D. So we want him to hit his corner shots. I've got Joe on the call here. Joe's just signed in. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, what a Johnny come lately. Eh? Looking to just ride the coattails, boys.
Yeah. we've covered Yam Madar, we've covered Romeo Langford, and we've covered Peyton Pritchard.
Carson Edwards is all yours.
Well, I feel okay. So, full disclosure, haven't seen the game, don't even know what happened. So, I feel like you guys could do me a favor by just giving me some opinions to take home. I know I love Peyton Pritchard. I love me some PP, some Pied Piper.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Well, I mean, I guess just to recap on what we've covered so far. So, Peyton Pritchard was the MVP of this game. Yam Madar was probably the most exciting element of this game in that, like, he so the Atlanta Hawks went on a 10-0 run to start the game. Then Yam came on and the Celtics went on a 17-2 run immediately and was completely spearheaded by Yam. So, like, he's clearly got some chops, I guess, is what we've covered so far. But Timmy's got the highlights
legend
on YouTube.
Yam Madar. Yeah,
that's right.
They're saying he could be the next Anthony Randolph, you know?
Yes, please.
That's the ceiling.
The ceiling is the roof.
Jackson, let's just rattle off the rest of the sort of, I guess, the most notable players here for Joe's sake so we can get an insight into what happened today. So we talked about Peyton Pritchard. We talked about Yam Madar. Romeo Langford was effective but still leaving a lot to be desired. As far as at least what his impact would look like in an actual NBA game. Aaron Nesmith, Jackson, what were your thoughts on Aaron Nesmith today?
Yeah, underwhelming. He didn't stand out. Yeah. And like I was looking for him to stand out, he still didn't stand out. So that's a little bit alarming. I'd say probably Carson Edwards maybe was a step above. You know, decent stat line if you look at it. I think, yeah, like, what do you have, 17, 6 and 8 or something like that. But he still didn't strike me as, you know, looking particularly you know, good. You know, again, it's summer league. You can look serviceable, but then you have to ask yourself, you know, like, how is this going to translate? And I think the jury is probably, well, not the jury, but I think it's foregone conclusion that Carson's can't cut it. But it didn't look bad, to be fair. Certainly better than Naismith, I thought, anyway. What'd you think?
Well, a Reddit user, Squook, wrote, might be an unpopular opinion, but Romeo's a much better basketball player than Aaron Naismith, in my opinion. Naismith's shot ain't looking good. Which I mean, his shot didn't look good today. He shot poorly, so of course it didn't look good. But I still believe in Naismith. I think the Celtics just hired Bucks assistant coach Ben Sullivan, who is apparently a shot doctor. Naismith, yeah, he obviously had, you know, that good stretch in college. We saw him knocking down shots towards the end of last season. Some have said that he might be using summer league to figure a bunch of other shit out, but also like figure out your shooting. Like that's what we're paying you to do, is like knock down shots.
You'd want to hope you go into summer league thinking, something sucks about my game. I'm just going to do everything and every time to make this work, you know, when appropriate.
Yeah, like at least do the thing that you're supposed to be good at.
Yeah, precisely. I've nothing to add, sorry.
I feel like Naismith's future in the NBA is that he has such a defined role. I'm way less concerned with whether he's like has a great summer league game or not, because, you know, the best shooters can go out there and not hit shots. But on the other hand, like Langford's future is probably as a secondary playmaker. And if he can't make plays in summer league, he might not be able to make plays. So I'd probably be a bit more concerned with the poor report from Langford. Just because of their NBA future roles, right? Like, you know, yep. like there's not really probably that much of a future for Naismith as a like a high level role player if he's not an effective scorer. Mm-hmm. Whereas Naismith's like a high level role player just by virtue of the threat of his shooting, you know. So as long as his shooting is real and translates. Mm.
Yeah, I think he was like 1 for 8 today, at least from three. So the threat of his shooting certainly isn't there. Romeo Langford, he had 4 assists in this game, and he had a pretty bad first half, but he sort of came on stronger in the second half. And his defense is always solid, and, you know, we started to hit threes in the second half as well. So it's sort of 3 and D, but like we need an element of playmaking from him as well, like you said, Joe. And there were flashes of that, but really I wouldn't put him in the list of standout players from today. That was really limited to Pritchard and Yamada, thankfully, who we're hoping was good. And it seems like, you know, basing it off one measly summer league game, that he is like at least a competent basketball
Danny
player.
Danny Ainge's legacy. Yeah. He has to deliver, preserve his name.
Danny Ainge was like sitting in his armchair, stroking his dribble, just like, yes, as watching Amadar just like actually be good. Carson Edwards, who you mentioned, I'm going to go to, so Warlando Bloom, a Reddit user, made a like a sort of a summer league breakdown post after the game. And on Carson, they wrote, honestly, I'm done with him and was done before summer league. What I did see from Edwards was offensive touches. I liked seeing funneled through Langford and Madar. He was inefficient and doesn't bring anything outside of scoring. He did make a few good reads on fast breaks, but that's about it. Edwards is fighting for his life here and is going to be trying to score. If the saving grace for Edwards was proving he can handle point guard responsibilities, this isn't the place for it. Jackson, you know, you saw the game. What are your thoughts on overall on the Carson Edwards performance?
It just didn't leave me very enthused. Like I said, like stats were fine, but I mean, maybe it's a little bit of bias because like I've kind of given up on him as well too, which sucks. You know, I'd love to see him turn it around. I'd love to see him explode again. But like, you know, let's face it, even if he scored like 45 points today, I think we would all just be thinking this is just Cleveland again. You know what I mean? Need to see it like when it actually matters. And, you know, he's not really going to get a chance for it to matter too much. So he's got to be like absolutely like lights out. And then in like the limited minutes that he does get opportunities in, he needs to, you know, sort of continue that. So I don't know. It wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination, but just didn't wow me at all, really.
Yeah. Joe, like, I think you're in a position to at least comment on the Carson situation, because he's been part of the team for a while. It's like, what do you need to see from Carson's in this summer league for him to sort of be kept around? Or are you beyond that, like Warlando Bloom here, and you just want to see him shipped off for someone else, like Isaiah Thomas, who scored 81 points in a Pro-Am game today?
Yeah, number four.
Well, this is how easy podcasting is. I have not seen the game, and I feel completely qualified to offer up an opinion here. You just come on and make it up, team. Just put your name in the hat. Ben will sub you in.
Been doing it for years.
Unfortunately for Carson Edwards, he's a scorer who doesn't score. And he certainly doesn't score on NBA level. Mm-hmm. It is. It's curtains for him. He's going to be out of the league. He just doesn't have it. And you can't be mad about it, right? Like, it wasn't. It's not like an unusual thing for guys who were scorers at a lower levels and to not have it translate. And he's just another one of those dudes. And we took a chance on him with a second round pick, and it didn't work out. And oh well. Yeah. I totally agree with. What was it, Warlando Bloom?
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He can't do anything right at this point, like Jackson said, that's going to convince you that he's about to turn the corner. And I do agree that's a little bit of a waste of development resource having him there. But he's under contract, and that's the bugger of it, eh? So I would have probably preferred to have Moses Brown on the roster than him, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, or even Yam at this point. He certainly, it's one summer league game, but he exhibited qualities that we have never seen from Carson. And like with Carson's situation, at Purdue where he went to college, like if you're a volume shooter, you can sort of afford to be a little bit inefficient in that, like over the course of an inefficient shooting game, if you're getting up enough shots, like 40% on enough shots is still a lot of points, but 40% on like five shots is no good. Like we need a guy in that role who can kind of come in and hit like two of three or three of five. And like Carson Edwards is not that person. Yam maybe looked like he could be that person, or at least the kind of person to set someone else up to have that impact on the game. So I'm very intrigued by the prospect of getting off the Carson Edwards contract, which is not. It's not like an albatross, right? Like, surely we can get rid of it. It's not a huge amount of salary. So,
yeah. We got rid of Abdul Nader, and he became an NBA champion, so you just got to sell it to him that way. Just move on. Come on, man. You can do it.
Trade him to the Suns. Juhan Begarin, which is not how you pronounce his name, but it's the guy that we drafted, 45. He's 18 or 19. He's. Do any of you guys know how to pronounce his name properly? Because I just completely messed that up.
Nah, man, no idea.
Bergon.
That guy. Bergon. You know who I'm talking about. The French teenager. The funky Homo sapien on Reddit wrote, pretty hype that they trusted Begarin to close the game, and he proved he deserved it with that steal. I'll enlighten you, Joe. So there was a game-winning steal performed by this rookie of ours that sort of sealed the game after the Romeo Langford go-ahead three. It was pretty exciting. Gotta say, 6 a.m.
exciting
to get up for
finish,
this game.
To be fair. Yeah, it was an exciting finish to the game.
Yeah, and like summer league or regular season or playoffs, like there's the afterglow of the Celtics win where you're like, damn, I feel good. It doesn't matter how it came about, but in this case, it was a game winning steal by Begarin here. Jackson, any thoughts on this guy and this sort of glimpse that we had on him today?
He looks huge. He looks really really big. Yeah, like he's technically a guard, but like he should definitely probably be a forward. But yeah, again, not enough to really make too much of an assessment, but from what I did see of him, it was good. And yeah, like having a clutch play in your first game is definitely gonna help your cause. So yeah, no, I'm intrigued. We looks like we whiffed on the last Frenchman we let go, so hopefully this one can be, you know.
Hang on, we let a few Frenchmen go in our time, haven't we?
We have. Yeah,
so
yeah,
which one are you talking about? Just to be clear,
I was actually referring to Gershon Yabusele.
I was hoping.
Could have been
so.
Fournier.
Yeah, and then I realized it meant Fournier as well too. or let's not forget Vinny P.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Gosh, we're pretty hostile to the French.
Yeah. Reddit user President Brad wrote, Juhan Begarin was our best big, and he's literally a guard, which is more to say that the bigs that we had on the roster today were not good. And as a result, there was not a lot of like penetration in the offense because the picks weren't being set well. Like there was not much going on there from the bigs at all. There was not a lot of rebounding. I think Carson Edwards had like 7 or 8 rebounds in this game, which should tell you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this young Frenchman, he's not going to play on the Celtics this year. He's going to go back to Paris or potentially some other professional league. And we've got his rights. And if he continues on this sort of trajectory, then we might see him in the squad in another year or two. But it was nice to see him show out well in his first Summer League game. Any other thoughts on Summer League before we move on to some other news?
The less said, the better from me about Summer League, I think.
Actually, I will say one thing. I was pretty sure for a long time we were playing the Houston Rockets. I was like, oh, like, shit.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. So there you go.
Here's some off-season news. So a Woj bomb, if you want to call it that, an ESPN story on the fact that CJ McCollum was elected the NBPA's new president and Boston's Grant Williams was elected as the vice president of the NBPA. This is off-season news, right? We might glean over this in the middle of the regular season when we've got a little bit more to talk about, but it is Grant Williams. He is a Boston Celtic. Joe... any thoughts on this? Like, does it matter? Should we be proud?
Well, I was sort of thinking, like, I love Grant Williams. I'm a fan. But I was kind of thinking, you probably, like, want to make sure you've got your second contract in the league before maybe...
Yeah, like you're a player before yeah. you...
Like, doesn't it just... Yeah, like you, Grant Williams, I love him, but he's not a particularly high stature guy in the league, right? Like, no guarantees he's getting a second contract, really. And he's the player's rep. Like, it seems a bit incongruous, but I guess it just goes to show you, to be honest, how little competition there is for these positions.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, what do you think, Jackson?
Maybe maybe being elected to like the players board or whatever it is, maybe it comes like a stipulation that you have to get like a 1 year contract at like the minimum somewhere. Like the NBA just picks it up and you just get like shoehorned yeah. into some team. So it could be like, yeah. And imagine Brad's on the table. It's like, okay, all right, Washington, I've got Grant Williams for you. He's the vice president of the Players yeah. Association. So two picks, please. Yeah, I'm proud of him, sure. He obviously really wants to do it, and it obviously suits him, and I think he can tell he's an intelligent dude, so he's probably fits it really well, too. But, yeah, it is a bit peculiar, because you're right, he may not have a contract real soon, and he won't be a player anymore. That would probably compromise his credentials to be in the Players Association.
Like you said, like maybe they guarantee him like a vet minimum on the Orlando Magic or something like that, you know, guarantee you at least one more year. Before
it's definitely
like
Minnesota.
Reddit user SeniorStone71 wrote, "We make fun of Grant a lot here because he's not a great NBA player, but he is smart, well-educated, and highly articulate. He seems really nice and personable as well. I can see why he got this position, and I'm certain he'll do well with the role." I don't know. Is there anything else to say on this? It is Celtics news. It is a talking point. How much more talking we do on the matter is really up to you guys, because I've got nothing else.
No, I'm happy for him. I'll leave it at
move that. Move on.
All right, let's move on. Let's end on this.
Move on.
Let's end on this. So Saturday night, Aussie time, we had a great, great night of Olympic basketball. First of all, in the afternoon there, at this point, we're over the disappointment of the Boomers loss to Team USA in the semifinal, and we get to watch Tatum have a pretty good game. Integral, you might say, as the US defeat France for the gold medal. And then, my God, 9 p.m. Australia time. I guess 11 p.m. there for you, Joe. Australia versus the Luka-led
Australia.
Slovenians. FIBA Paddy, 42 points. Bronze medal for the Boomers. The first medal for Australia men's basketball. Sorry, Joe, I have to throw to the other Australian on the podcast first. Jackson, just talk me through the experience for you.
It was so good because it really wasn't that tight or of a game, and like I love me a tight like arm wrestle that you end up winning, nothing better, but like you could just feel like it was fate after a little while when Patty Mills just after the second quarter, you know, like 19 in the second quarter, and he was just absolutely killing it, and I was like, there's no way Patty Mills is letting us lose this game, and I just trusted him completely. So the experience was like, you know, you just got happier and happier and happier as it went on, because you just knew it was coming. And yeah, it was the Australian media really embraced it. You know, you had Andrew Gaze on TV just crying his eyes out, and that was wonderful. You know, it was just fantastic to see. And you know, I always used to think there was so much novelty to like the smaller nations at the Olympics, like Madagascar or something winning a medal, and like they're like crying. It's like the first ever nation, and it's a bronze medal. You know, I understood it now because we wanted a medal for so long, and it was so important, so cool to see that happen. So yeah, I'd celebrate it like it was a gold nevertheless.
Well, it goes to show that not all medals are created equal, eh? You know?
Yeah, this was the goldest bronze of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, totally. I mean, look, the thing is with basketball, I hate that there's 3-on-3 in there, to be honest. But, like, before then you could say, you know, like, there's only one medal you can get, right? And it's normally sewn up by the states. So there's really everyone else is playing for two medals, you know, as opposed to, like, we had this awesome kayaker that won three gold medals for New Zealand. It's not the same. Like, I would trade, if I was in New Zealand, I would in a heartbeat trade those three golds for, like, a bronze medal in the basketball. Mm-hmm. It's just a way more significant accomplishment, unfortunately. Like, I'm not trying to denigrate, but they're not equivalent accomplishments. And it's a fabulous accomplishment for Australia. It really is. It's so hard just to get to the Olympics, eh? There's only 12 countries that make it, and I loved seeing. I was saying to Jackson earlier, you might get it when you go through the through the little parenthetical chat we had. But like, I heard about this gay's speech, and so, like, I was like trawling Reddit trying to find it. Unfortunately, I found a non-geo-locked video of it. And the thing that hit home for me was gay's talked about, like, how he felt, like, selfishly, like, he was part of it, you know. And for me, like, it was something I related to. Like, we had New Zealand is, like, a national high school basketball tournament. And, okay, who cares about who the top 25 basketball teams are in New Zealand, right? But if you're a little country town, it's really hard to get to that. And we had one team that made it when I was 2 years younger than me, like 2 years after I left school. And 100% I felt part of it. Like, mm-hmm. I was there in those early morning trainings with all those guys. I trained with them in the summer. And there's just an immense amount of pride that comes with it. And you guys should feel really proud of your team. I love how the Boomers play. Love how they play. And I love what seems to be their team environment. I think it's everything that is good about international sports and basketball is kind of manifest in the Boomers. Good on yous. And, I hope you guys are very, very successful.
Indefinitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, well, likewise. I hope that we see some New Zealand Olympic Games in the basketball, obviously, in the near future, because, you know, I've watched the New Zealand national basketball team before, and, you know, I feel like there's, like, some, there could be some Slovenian vibes. Like, you just need that one sort of out of nowhere great New Zealand player, and suddenly you're at that level. Obviously, it's hard to produce a Luka-like player no matter where you're from in the world, but, like, New Zealand have talented basketball players. They do have a culture, but they maybe just don't have, you know, unfortunately, the sort of the population to a pool of which to draft players from. But there is a lot to be said for the New Zealand basketball program as well. So who knows?
You got to get yourself a Matisse Thybulle. Just find some guy who lived there for like 4 years.
Matisse Thybulle.
And just be like, hey, dude, come play for us. He'd be like, yeah, sure, I can do that. Yeah.
Well, that goes to show, like, because your Aussie league's been pretty good for, I don't know, 40 years, means you've got this legacy of international pros coming and settling, and obviously their kids form, like, really a significant core of your team. We'll never have the same league, but, you know, maybe a Breakers player will stay behind in New Zealand and settle down and have kids. And yeah, I don't know, like, I still, for the international listeners, they, New Zealand versus Australian basketball games are still really, really good, even though Australia's a lot better than us. They're still really fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just really feel sorry. I really feel sorry for American listeners, particularly, that they don't get to experience, like, the feeling of being an underdog in a basketball game and the feeling of, like, true rivalry with another country. It's thrilling. It's so fun. And, you know, in our case in New Zealand, we've been better than you guys, like, really once in our history, where you guys were kind of at a real low ebb and we had the best generation of players we ever had. but you hold on to those memories and you think you can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one day we will. We'll, you know, and sometime in the next 20 years, we will probably have a team
that, I'm sure of
that
it.
Nips you in the bud, you know, but it's not going to happen that often.
You mentioned Matisse Thybulle. He is such a likable guy. I feel like, it's late, but was it Thybulle that we could have had instead of Carson Edwards? Is that
yes?
What I'm thinking of? Oh, that.
Yeah, we drafted him. We took him. And we got rid of him.
Absolute drop of the ball there.
Yeah.
Just like a solid dude. And, you know, I guess I'm talking mostly through the lens of his like vlog that he does on YouTube. And obviously he's sort of editing that and he has the ability to make himself, you know, be presented in a certain way. But he just seems like a pretty like solid down to earth dude. And, you know, the fact that he clicks well with that pre-existing boomers culture, I think probably says a lot about his character that like he was so easily and seamlessly incorporated into the team. And not only that, but had a crucial role in the team. And, you know, in that bronze medal game, he started, he was assigned to Luka from, you know, from the tip to the final whistle. And then had some incredible highlights, including a near free throw line dunk. And like a standing dunk as well, where he just kind of like almost like pogo sticked off the ground. Like he was really, really incredible player. And I'm so glad that he has these Aussie ties because we really needed him. Very exciting.
Yeah, he's just awesome, isn't he? Yeah, he's like it would
not a great throw over to you guys. I apologize.
No, clearly that's okay. You summed it up quite nicely. I was going to say it would just been in the trifecta of us swindling the Sixers. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Tatum Fultz thing is one. Them taking Al Horford off us and paying him that much money was probably part two, and part three would have been Thybulle, but it didn't work out that way. Like I never would have had anything to do with the Sixers if we just kept him anyway. But actually, no, I think like Danny traded for. Sorry, picked him because he found out the Sixers wanted him and then just traded him back for extra picks, but it was probably worth that anyway. So, yeah, sucks, but he's, yeah, glad he's an Australian. Aussie Matty.
What I was going to say was there's this I'm just going to remind you again, New Zealand currently has a world champion test cricket team, which is very unlikely because it's not even our number one sport. And there's been quite a lot of articles written about it. And like a turning point was New Zealand realizing that they need to play like New Zealanders. Like we have a certain national character and we're kind of at our best when we kind of lean into what we are. And I was Thybulle seems to me to be like, you know, he seems to me to be emblematic of like what's good about Australia, and you know he seems to really fit in with the Australian national character in a way that like I hope it changes. Like I really do. I'm not trying to put the burden, but Ben Simmons doesn't, and I hope that changes for him. I hope he really gets a chance to experience that because it. I think it'll, you know, if it was me, man, that would be one of my most cherished memories as an athlete.
It was the perfect opportunity to pass the torch too, because basically Paddy Mills, you know, he might come back, but he's not going to be the same Paddy Mills. I mean, maybe he would be, but this would have been the opportunity for Simmons to come in, the first Olympics, be a part of winning culture. He takes it forward from there. He missed such an opportunity not being a part of this. It sucks.
Yeah, well, Paddy Mills is going to get a pretty easy run, at least in the next year or two, coming off the bench for the Brooklyn Nets there. And, you know, the next Olympics are only 3 years away, pending any further pandemics. So, you know, he'll be back. Joe Ingles will be back. The Bane situation is concerning. I don't know what's going on there other than, you know, apparently he tripped over his massive dong in the shower and hurt his neck, I believe is the diagnosis. And so all the best to Baines. I hope he recovers. But it's a concerning outcome.
Blessing and a curse.
This is a Celtics podcast. We brought up the Olympics and then talked exclusively about Australia because we're from that part of the world. But on the Tatum side of things and his impact, particularly, you know, in the gold medal game, he was kind of like the bench Durant, I think a lot of people have described him as. Is there anything that you sort of take away from Tatum's performance that you then want to funnel into your expectations for this upcoming Celtics season?
My lazy take is he looked like the second best player on that team behind Kevin Durant. And if you look at the guys he's up against, that's where we want him to be, I think. That's like best case scenario. So, you know, on that level, yeah, then I think it's probably, without getting too, we're going to get into like proper preview season, like, soon, I'm sure. But, like, I think this is set up for Tatum to have an MVP tilt because we're not going to be very good. We're expected not to be very good. And if we are, it's going to be because of him. And that's a story. That's, you know, first day, et cetera. It could be set up for him, but he's got to deliver. I think this experience will help him a little bit. He's got a taste for winning now. He also knows what it's now like to be a part of a super team with the likes of Kevin Durant. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, make him anxious. Not anxious, make him want to seek that elsewhere. But it was good to see. I never go for the United States in anything. Sorry, guys. But I did for this game purely because of Tatum. I was stoked. Of course. Even when Durant was scoring, I was like, come on. So yeah, it's good.
yeah I'm always hoping that the States gets upset. Because until the final buzzer sounds and they are out, they are the favorite when they're down 10 with 5 minutes left, mate. They're still the favorite, you know. Maybe it'll be a test case. I'm not convinced that there's a whole lot of carryover, particularly for American players, into the NBA. It is such a different game too. But, you know, look, it's never going to be a bad thing to be part of something that's just a little bit bigger than you, you know. And so good on them for going. Lots of guys didn't. And I hope that he, from it, you know, got a sense of what it's, you know, the value of playing a smaller role, and I hope that translates to some good leadership of the team this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there. The idea of learning how to be a cog in a machine. When he's kind of had that sort of marquee player role, I guess, for the last season and a half with the Celtics, it could be sort of good from a character standpoint for Tatum. And also just the photos, the content, you know, like media. Tatum is very media trained and he doesn't offer a lot, and we don't get a lot from him other than maybe some emotional outbursts on the court. Just to see a photo of, like, several photos of Tatum, like, sculling champagne was just good content. Like, I saved those photos on my phone. Don't ask me why. I don't know what I'm going to use them for. And then clearly he, like, flew directly to Vegas, probably for some, like, to be around the summer league sort of iteration of the Celtics. But there's those photos of him, like, partying with Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown, like, biting the metal at some club in Vegas. Like, that's just cool. It's just good. You know, it's the off season, so we'll grab at any content we can get. But, you know, Tatum and the USA winning the gold produced in that sense. So maybe definitely I'll send those photos to you guys in, like, 6 months' time, and that's what the use will be. But it's just nice. Just nice to see.
Definitely went to Vegas for the summer league.
Sure, no other reason.
I'm sure, yeah.
Just wants to support the boys.
Yeah. All right, well, look, I think that's going to do it for this one. Thank you for tuning in. There's plenty more Summer League. I think the Celtics are playing every second day between now and the end of the Summer League, so we'll be back later in the week with more of the same. Jackson, Joe, love your work, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Beauty.
Till next time, go Celtics. Peace.